Hello and welcome to Your Own Pulse and this special edition of Question Time with your postgraduate officers. I'm joined by Paige, Anthony, Manuel and Yolanda. And I'm going to start with some general questions, which are going to be open to everyone to pitch in. But in a kind of general format, if you do want to reply, we'll kind of go around with Paige, Anthony, Manuel and Yolanda to keep things in some sort of general order. And then we'll be doing individual questions based more on people's manifestos to give you the chance to expand on your own ideas for what you'll bring to the role. So if my first question is going to be, in a recent survey done by the SU, which more than 10,000 students answered, the survey found that postgraduate students were less likely to feel at home at the university. In your different manifestos, you have all come up with various solutions to combat this. You've all placed emphasis on postgraduate-specific events, and I was wondering if I could get your opinion on if postgraduates need specific events, or if more effort should be made in trying to integrate postgrads and undergrads so that particularly the younger postgrads feel more at home at this university.
Okay, so, yep, I'm Paige. I think that we should do both. We should help postgraduates feel more integrated, but also we should give them the opportunity to have specific events so that they can meet other postgraduates and understand their community a bit more.
Yeah, hi, I'm Anthony. So I think it's interesting because I think as postgraduates, I mean, I think we're all masters, we're sort of acutely aware of how short we're actually going to be here. So it's sort of some sort of impotence to get in with a crowd, so to speak, or just sort of find people in your tribe. So I think it's important that we do have postgraduate specific, but also, as was brought up well, I think it is cool to integrate with undergrads too. I think there's something you brought to the table from all those experiences.
Hello, everyone. I'm Manuel Desardes. I'm going to think that we need to address both needs, but the key word is inclusion. We need to be also aware not just the age, but also about the culture, religion, and social backgrounds. We need to provide opportunities to everyone to get involved, so we could create activities that could be, even with alcohol or without alcohol, respectful to everyone, to could be address some needs, all the people get together. We could not just focus on one aspect because we are all different, but we need to find the similarities that we could work together. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Yolanda. I also agree with, the rest of the candidates. We should be integrating postgrads as well as offering them the individual events because that's what they're asking for. And my manifesto covers both points. I want to introduce postgrad reps into clubs and societies so that they can feel integrated, so they'll be seeking out for postgrads to join, but I also want to do specific events because, as I said, that's what they're asking for and we should be listening to the student voice.
And you've all listed that you'd like more events or kind of different events. And so, again, if you could just go around the table and tell us what kind of events, because your manifestos aren't specific, what kind of events did you have in mind?
I've given a few examples in my manifesto. So a big thing that came back in the feedback from postgraduates was they want to do day trips, particularly for non-home students. They want to visit areas in England more. I'd also like to do more culture and faith-based events. As well as that, I want to increase the things that we already do. So things like more formals, more barbecues, that kind of thing. And make sure that it's pretty even in terms of alcohol or non-alcoholic events, or always making sure that there's a non-alcoholic option available.
Do you think there's a problem with workload and also juggling even more kind of social events? Or do you think the postgrads want to do more of these?
I think it partially depends on the course you're on, if you're a postgraduate tour or if you're a postgraduate research as well. But equally then, if there are more events available, which is something that I want to do, then they've got more opportunities. So say if they can't make 9 out of 10 events, but there's one event that they can make, it means that they still have a chance to get involved.
Yeah, so on your first question or second?
About what kind of events?
I think there's a lot of interesting sort of companies out there, a lot of promoters that are sort of have maybe less than they have sort of financial reasons to promote these events, that I don't see why there's any reason that we can't step in, offer a quality product, not to make money, but just because we want to show people. Like, I've been on events to Bristol, to all these places, and I think that's something that the student union could do, something, and the student union should do, because we just can reach a much wider net than any of these guys, and I think that's something that we should look into for sure.
Well, it's aside from what my partners had said before, it's not just about the travel and the trips that I really love to be. I'm really a big fan of travel. but also cultural affairs that we could also get interacted, that they could feel calm, that is really linked to the last questions. Also, sporty events, because this is really related to welfare and well-being, to get involved all together. And I'm really care about academic experience, so increasing the number of academic events for networking is really important to me. As an international scholarship benefited from the Gemini network, I'm really aware how important it is to get all the postgrads, get to know other colleagues from other universities. That is really important for me, and I really want to work for that, increasing the opportunities to everyone.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. It's about offering variety. And we do have a lot available out there already. So I think kind of working on the communication avenues so that the options we do have available are kind of more obvious and more out there. Also, like, as already mentioned, non-alcoholic, alcoholic, just like religion, all these kind of different areas in our community, as well as our postgrad community, that should be focused on and should be worked on and should be listened to and heard. There's also things like city life. I was lucky to have the person who started up City Life, which is a trip that people can go on trips, join City Life and go on trips, and it's all organised. I actually was in the same club, Tatum's club, who worked with us last year. So it's kind of making those connections with him. I mean, he has moved into a different city as well, so it's working, it's successful. Why can we not use these avenues? He was a Nottingham student. Use these avenues that our students are creating to give our other students more opportunities.
And when it comes to the issue of housing, there's been a University of Nottingham flatmate finder Facebook group set up by the SU. Do you feel there needs to be a postgraduate specific one, or would this would you merely expand the Facebook group?
I think you could kind of do both in one. So if you expand it, you could include options to have postgraduate specific, because there will be postgraduates that want to live with other postgraduates only, but equally there will be some that don't mind living with undergraduate or postgraduate. So I think if you expand the Facebook website and that kind of campaign in general, I feel like you could do both. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's a good point, because, I mean, just talking to kids in my course, I have people from Kazakhstan who are still in the process of completing their IELTS and their English qualifications. So they're here, and they're still not necessarily familiar with the nuances. So I think if we look to expand or look to create a separate, we need to make sure that we're not just putting sort of complicated words in English that sort of have some sort of nuance to them. We need to have possible languages set up through societies, through to make sure that these kids who are moving here are still in the process of learning English, understand what sort of contract they're entering and what sort of thing. So I'd want to get involved with sort of the societies and the people in place to make sure that these kids coming over who are still in the process of learning English can find a roommate and find the stuff in a variety of languages is something important to me.
Well, in my campaign of confidently smart PGs, I'm also looking for empower all the students here. I think that both options are really good idea to support this. Some students, undergraduate students, would like to learn from postgrads, but other postgrads would like to know to hang out with just other postgraduates. So I'm really aware from this. So both options are feasible, and also point out the interest, because probably you are not the same range of age, but also you could share some love for some sport or for some activity, and that is something that we could be improving. Make these people that you're sharing a whole year or even 2 or 3 years of your experience here your family and feeling like home. And there is something that has helped me since I got really lovely flatmates, and I want that every graduate student could have access to this.
I think it's about integration, options and accessibility. Postgraduates should have a choice to move where they want to move. And so that needs to be accessible. It needs to be clear. So I think, yeah, Facebook page perhaps needs to be working with the new accommodation website that should be coming out, hopefully, that communities officer is working on at the moment. And I've got that in my manifesto to perhaps add to that and have estate agents that are specifically reviewed by postgrads for postgrads. So if they want that option of going to postgrad-specific areas, and they have that as well as the undergrad options, because, you know, they should be able to choose where they want to live and who they want to live with.
And final question before we go to the song. The postgraduate officer is a very recent position. There isn't even a national one, although they are in the process of lobbying for that. Do you think there needs to be more visibility for the postgraduate officer?
Absolutely, I think, because you see it in student unions like across the UK and universities in general. a lot of things are kind of aimed at undergraduates, or they're with undergraduates in mind. So I think having the postgraduate officer is really important, because it means that you get that insight and you get that different perspective. So when they do, you know, plan things, you can have postgraduates in mind, and you can make sure that everyone feels included, both undergraduate and postgraduate.
Yeah, I mean, I think you've already done a good job. You've brought up sort of addressing that there is sort of a schism almost, or some sort of like dichotomy between undergrad and graduate, because it is a different experience. We're on our own, mostly we're in the library, we're not taught as much. And I think just because of that sort of difference, there is something inherent about it. So we need to really focus on what it means to be a graduate and how we can sort of advance as academic society. So that'd be a really interesting place to look at.
In my personal opinion as Manuel Besares, I really think that the postgraduate officer needs to be seen by the other students, because we are, if I went, or as Edmond has been doing until now, we need to work for our students. We need to be seen from them so they could know where to go when they have an inquiry. But also, aside from being visible as postgraduate officer, I think that also the people that we could be representing will be visible as well and address their own needs, the real needs that they have. They are international, they don't speak English as their native language, they have different interests. So I'm really aware from that, and I really want to everybody could be representative and their voice be counted.
Totally agree. We should be encouraging postgrads to get involved in the students' union. Their voice should be heard. They've had a long experience, longer than undergraduates, in education, in higher education, so they should be engaged in helping to improve our university if they want to. Of course, they don't have to. But, I mean, it kind of shows we've got 4 postgraduates running for this role at the moment, so we do have engagement there. It is just about encouraging other postgrads to kind of get engaged as well. And also, yeah, we've talked about visibility, making sure that undergraduates understand the importance of a postgrad officer and the importance of postgrads, because they do a lot of research for a university, fantastic research. A lot of funding comes from their work, so, you know, they're an important body of students.
Do you feel that the perception of postgraduate students needs to be changed in order to make them feel more at home? Some of the younger postgraduates we spoke to and Matt Bramley have placed an emphasis on highlighting to the student body that postgraduates do want to go out and do the same things as undergrads. What's your opinion on this?
This frustrates me a little bit, because there is this idea that, you know, postgraduates, all they do is just they study, or they're in labs all day, and, you know, they never go out, they don't do any sports, they don't get involved in societies. And I think the other day as well, someone actually turned around and said that I was old because I'm a postgraduate and I'm here, like, I'm only 21 years old. It's a really inaccurate, outdated, like, just completely false perception of postgraduates. I think that's the reason why they're not engaged with as much. So I think we definitely need to change that perspective. You know, it's the same with undergraduates. There are a variety of undergraduates, and there are a variety of, you know, types of postgraduates as well. So yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I come from the States, and it's sort of different because, I mean, our going out age is a little bit older. I mean, it's around 21, so as opposed to 18, it's something I've had to adjust with. There's sort of almost a stigma, so to speak. It's maybe a harsh word, but it is. It seems like because of that, this culture shock where people just expect you to sit at home and read Thoreau or something like that. So it's really been, I think I bucked the stereotype, but I've been doing a lot, and I think that is something that is not true. It's something that should be looked to change through media, through however we want to disseminate information.
I think that we have different, how could we say it? We are different on different schedules, different levels of stress, maybe. But we are really people love to interact, loves to find a different way, perhaps. But it's really important to address, and I've said before, we share some interests. We could enjoy the same soccer game. We could enjoy probably a chess game. But we need to be open, because our schedules as postgraduate students are different. So we need to expand probably the times, the opportunity, but we could still sharing many things, and that is the point. Not being isolated, we could share many things that could be beneficial for everybody.
I think I might be kind of a bit different to that stereotype. My undergrad Taylor's mates expect me to go out all the time, and I simply can't fit it in. But postgrads should be able to do what they want. It's the same as undergrads, we're still people, and we have the opportunity to all these amazing different activities, and going out is one of those. And so if the student, if postcards want to go out, they should be able to go out, and they shouldn't have to put up with or fight against the stigma that they're expected to stay at home. Yeah, we should be breaking down that barrier.
Do you think then you need to offer continually different events throughout the year because of the variety of students you have? Because obviously you're all master's students, so you know you're not too far along in terms of the research as other students are. And like you said, you know, there is a time for work as well. So do you think there needs to be a continual offer of a variation of events to suit all needs, or is that simply not feasible?
No, I think it absolutely is. I mean, we've kind of proved it, you know, with what Matt's done this year. We've done things like the barbecue, we did the winter ball, we're working on Link at the moment. I think it's like I was saying earlier, you know, there are different types of postgrads and the, you know, what they want and what they expect from the SU. So I think we can definitely offer that. It's just really important that we get that feedback and we find out, you know, what do postgraduates want, what kind of events do they want, so that we can then put them in place for them.
Yeah, at my time at undergrad in the States, I worked as a student life coordinator for my dormitory. And it's one of those things, I had an event due every 2 weeks, and some would have 200 people, some would have 10. And you can't expect to hit the home run every time, but I think there's some experience to be gained from no matter what event you put on, board game night, movie night on the quad. Like, there's just something intrinsic that you can gain from hanging out with people and just sort of meeting new people, and that's why we're all here, I think.
As course rep for the Master in Public Health, I'm really aware that we could do things and not really needs a lot of organization, but just to put in practice. Last week we went together to bowling and was really good because we got unstressed, that we got fun, we got together, and this is really important because it creates a supportive network that we could be aware of our well-being. And it's completely feasible. It just needs a little bit of a spark. And Matt has been doing this really in an incredible way. And our responsibility as candidates to the position now is to improve this work, because it's already good, but we could do it even better. Everything is more, it's possible, and we need to work for it.
Yeah, I do think there should be events going on all the time, all the way year through, because timetables are a little different. Different courses have different stresses at different times of the year. So why should people not have the opportunity to go to events just because somebody else is busy with coursework? Need to just kind of go along with the timetable and again listen to postgrads' needs. If you know if they're in demand for events, then we should give them events.
Now we're going to move on to the more specific questions, starting off the page.
They told me I was getting last.
stole your lie there. All right, Paige, you mentioned yeah. Working with specific welfare groups. What groups do you have in mind, and what support can they offer?
So I'd like to work with kind of the student-run groups, so like Nightline, Student Minds, and also engage with networks more, because they offer support, guidance, information, and you know, like listening services that postgraduates might need. But when I talk to postgraduates, and because I do publicity for Nightline, for example, a lot of them think that it's aimed at undergrads. So that'd be a big thing, is just working with the student run services mainly. And also I'd like to promote the Student Advice Centre more, because again, it's for postgraduates as well as undergraduates, and they've got a wealth of resources available in there.
And the next question is, in your manifesto, you talk about extenuating circumstances and making them more available to students. Mm-hmm. Why do you think there is a need for this?
So when I was talking to some of my postgraduate friends, one of the things that was coming back was kind of the mix between extenuating circumstances and visas. So if you need extenuating circumstances, you can extend your visa. But what I've been told, because I'm a home student, is that it can be quite a complicated process. It can be quite confusing as well. So what I want to do in terms of making it easier is just making it more accessible, and making postgraduates aware that they can also apply for extenuating circumstances. And this applies to, you know, both full-time students, part-time students, and distance learners. Because when I was talking to, because I'm a distance learner myself, my course is online. When I was talking to some people online, they were saying that they didn't even realise that that was an option for them, even though they might need it as well.
And Do you think that, as you mentioned, the postgrad sounding board in your manifesto as well, do you think that needs to be made more aware to people?
Yeah, absolutely. So the point of the sounding board is to gather feedback from the course reps. I think we just need to utilise that more. So this idea I kind of came up with when I was doing my PGC course. So I used to be a course rep on there, and we would discuss you know, various issues we were having, but they never really got to the SU level. They kind of, you know, just stayed in that room. And I think it'd be more important to engage with the course reps and the sounding board more so that we can gather more feedback so that we can improve the academic experience. And I don't just mean, you know, let's just do a survey and gather feedback. I mean, let's make it more interesting so that people do actually want to give feedback. So something as simple as, you know, holding a lunch in a particular school or with, you know, a certain amount of course reps and then stagger it. That's something that would be engaging and would also give us the opportunity to gain more feedback.
We're just going to go to a text now that's come in, and it's open to you, all of you, to answer this as well before we go to a song. The text says, if you are with any SU candidates, can you please ask if they support the National Student Survey boycott? As a student, I feel disheartened our current SU did not support the boycott. They are supposed to be a union and support us as students. Go one by one.
I can jump in. I mean, I sort of come from the States, as been established, and sort of the idea of a student union is more of an actual union. You stand up for the people you believe in. And I think that things like the NSS sort of showed that they're really willing to take sort of the side of the money. I mean, that's kind of what it was. I mean, even though it is a symbolic boycott, there's still power behind that symbology, I think. And I think sort of with the incident that happened with the students, with the roller coaster incident, I don't remember the name off the top of my head, I think those students should have had the backing of the student union. I thought it was maybe a bit of a cop-out there. I think if we're the students' union, we have to live up to that. We have to stand up for our students, not for administration, not for the government. We're our students' union.
We need to bring the boys to our students. We need to be aware of that. And as candidates, we need to just listen to them. We could not let this be surpassed. We need to work for what they want. And that's a position now. We need to listen. And what they need, we will do it for that.
Without trying to kind of repeat what's just been said, we should be listening to the student voice. And it's quite sad that the individual who texted in feels that the SU weren't listening or weren't supporting the student voice, because that's what they're there for, that's what the student union there for, and that's exactly what they should be doing. So I hope any candidate that gets elected in will do that.
I think I can understand it is a very complex and like difficult situation. I understand both arguments of, you know, the whole point behind the NSS is that you know, we can gather feedback and see what the national issues are so that we can help solve them. And equally, you know, if as postgraduates we're already feeling underrepresented, something like that could be really useful to us. But then equally, if it's not being utilised effectively, you know, for undergraduates and postgraduates as well, then it's kind of hard, you know, yeah, to see the voice, to see how our voice is being heard. So I think what we should have actually done maybe in future with similar situations is we should give more opportunities for students to voice their opinions, and so that we can gather more feedback and more get a better general understanding of how people feel towards certain issues.
We're going to go over to Anthony, who's running to be your postgrad officer. In the opening part of your manifesto, you talk about the impact of recent events like Brexit and the travel ban, and how postgraduates should be welcomed at Nottingham. What are your opinions on these recent events, and why did you think it was important to stress that in your manifesto?
Well, again, I mean, it's something I'm not particularly, like, it doesn't really necessarily affect me. I'm a straight white man. I mean, it's the elephant in the room there. But, I mean, just talking to my friends, and I didn't even actually plan on running until I started talking to my friends and just sort of saying, I want to help. How can I help? They put their faith in me to try to run for this and do something with it. So I think that was the impetus that really what pushed me. I mean, I really care about the student union, and the more I've started talking to Matt, to Ishmael, all those guys, to sort of understand what it does, but that really was the impetus, and that is what I'm personally motivated by and focused on, sort of creating that community. And I think that's where it starts to say, this is a safe place, this is what we want to do. And that's something I fell in love with about this place.
Now, you also mentioned you want to offer support for refugees and displaced people.
Yeah.
There are ongoing kind of lobbying from the current members of the SU to do that. What do you think you're going to bring to the role in order to persuade the uni if they're already in what seem like slow-going discussions?
Yeah, I mean, I think that involving people like the UNHCR, I mean, there's a giant base in London. There's a huge office there. There's a UN human... It's the refugee service. I don't remember the full acronym off the top of my head. But just sort of big top-level NGOs and then working our way down to sort of the Middle East Midlands refugee services. And then even there's local ones. So I think sort of involving them to say, maybe we can get some scholarships, maybe we can get a grant or something of that ilk, and then contacting even like the Home Office, just really understanding to have a protocol in place. I've seen places like in Bangor, there was a response to a student who had her visa pulled after she didn't have asylum granted, and she's been living here since she was 12. So they're sort of scrambling, and I just want something in place, say, this is what we're going to do should anything like this start to happen, which it already is.
Now, obviously, this is going to cost money.
Yeah.
What do you think, you know, from your own personal skill set, you're going to be able to use to leverage this money from the uni? Because I don't think they're going to just, you know, hand over everything to a postgrad officer who, you know, you guys are only here for 1 year.
Yeah.
What do you think you're going to bring to the role in order to persuade them?
Yeah. So from my past experience, I did health outreach for migrant farm workers in rural Maryland, which if you think there would be no money in that, I guarantee you there isn't. So I've been working on a shoestring budget the last 3 years of my life. And I think sort of the key, especially in sort of, I mean, this is the UK, we're still in a very much a Blairite system in that sense. You have to start working public, but you have to involve the private sphere. You have to involve sort of NGOs, IGOs. There's so many revenue funds that aren't tapped that you really just need to sort of pull people together. Even if it's you chip in, you get your name on a brick somewhere, there's still people who really want to help. And I think sort of just pulling in from that vast army of substance out there can really help, if not get a full scholarship, just sort of some sort of help for these people who desperately need it.
And what examples of avenues for feedback and evaluation do you have? Because you do mention that in your manifesto about sounding out postgrads in terms of how their experience at uni is going. What kind of ideas do you have?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really think there's any way to reinvent the wheel on that one. I mean, I think someone, Paige, for example, like her idea for the ballot box, that's something I would definitely incorporate. I think that's a really smart idea, a ballot box. You can see where my brain is. The suggestion box. So, I mean, it's not like we can tap into people's brains and figure it out. I mean, you do have to put some sort of effort in, but I mean, it's easier through social media, through like Doodle, I mean, through Slack. Like, there's so many ways out there to get your voice heard. I don't just sort of publicizing it, because it is easy. I mean, just to write something on a scrap piece of paper, but just sort of saying, we're going to act on this. You have to show you're going to act on it is where it starts, basically. The more suggestions, people are suggesting stuff, the more you do, the more they'll suggest, and the better coalition we'll have going forward, I think.
And before we go over to Yolanda, we've got another text come in, and it's more of a general question. Again, so feel free for all of you to pitch in, and maybe you can specify to postgrads as well. But it says, how do the candidates hope to get more students involved in these elections to vote? Quite a few of my friends don't feel like they should vote, as they cannot name something the current SU has done. How do they wish to improve this view?
Is this for me or is this?
This is open to everyone. And there's a smiley face at the end if changes thinking.
Awesome. First thing that I need to address with this question is, you can not feel happy if you don't take part. You call the man if you're taking part. You need to vote. We need to vote. We need to transform the situation that is already getting now. There are several things that we could talk in this room, but you need to use your first right that you have in this moment, that is voting. Vote for any of my fellow candidates, or vote for me, but vote for any one of us. We want to work for you. And we need your vote. Right now, almost less than 30% of the students across the university has voting. We need that this number gets increasing as soon as possible. In this way, we could transform the students' union. But we need your opinion. We need that you choose someone of us. And we need that you participate, certainly.
I totally agree with what's just been said. If students don't vote, then they're not going to get the representative that they want to represent them. And then, I mean, it's difficult to argue that the SU hasn't done anything if they've not voted in the representative that they want. It's kind of like a endless circle. So yes, it's really important that people do vote, because it will improve the engagement with the SU. And I mean, students should be engaged and involved and feel that they can approach the SU. And I hope that the SU are doing everything they can to kind of solve the issues that haven't been solved so far. I also think it's about creating an achievable manifesto. I believe that my points are achievable, and I hope to kind of implement them successfully if I was elected. And I mean, on issues, general issues at Students' Union, general issues directed to Students' Union, again, if you don't vote, you're not going to get the representative that they want. So yeah, really, really important.
I think there are two key things that we can do to help improve that. So one thing that the officers do at the minute is, you know, they'll post on their Facebook, this is what I'm up to this week. But what a lot of people have been saying is, you know, it's a lot of, I'm going to a meeting for this, I'm having a discussion about this. So what we should do is expand that. So maybe, you know, put it on the SU page, because not everyone has Facebook or, you know, social media access. And I know it's a buzzword, but let's make it more transparent in the sense of, okay, you went to this meeting, what was discussed at this meeting? Go into detail about it, you know, post it in an accessible way on places like the SU website.
Do you not think that there might be more of a balance between what is digestible and palatable information, and then, you know, arguably places like Scrutiny Panel, mm-hmm. you can go to get that more in-depth information?
Yeah, I think so Scrutiny Panel, maybe they can, you know, obviously they do it in a lot more detailed version, so maybe have the digestible version on the SU website. So, you know, maybe have a separate page or clicker thing, so I don't know tab. What the word is, tab, that's yeah. it. And then maybe even within that tab, you can then have, if you want to see more detailed, go to Scrutiny Panel's documents and you can click on that. And also, I think another thing that's really important is continuation. So, you know, we are only in office for a year, and a lot of people have a lot of really great ideas, but they're not continued on. And this is something that I've put in my manifesto, is I feel like I can either achieve the things within that year or they can be continued. So important things like lobbying to improve teaching conditions, that's something that I'd really like to start, and I want it to be continued. I think that's really important. And, you know, for example, I want to continue the work that Matt's done on the Postgraduate Sports Week, and I want to expand that and make it better next year. So I'd say expanding the whole kind of this is what I'm up to thing, but making it more accessible, more informative, as well as digestible, you know, to get that balance. And continuation, I feel like that's really important.
All right, we're going to go over to Yolanda now. One of your first manifesto points was the idea of a virtual welcome fair. What are the benefits of this, and, you know, why would someone choose this over over the standard welcome fair available in Portland, or whether it'll be, or wherever it'll be held next year?
Sure. I think the physical welcome fair, of course, is very important, and I don't want the virtual welcome fair to replace it. I want it to be, as I said, additional access. I think it is important for a huge range of reasons. You've got international students who perhaps can't get here. I'm a host student. I wasn't around for Welcome Week. So yeah, just improve accessibility that way. You've also got postgraduates who perhaps do not want to travel in or cannot travel in. There, again, virtual having online would be much easier. Also, I want to kind of extend kind of the time that this information is available for. Obviously, you've only got the 3 or 4 days of welcome fair. I want the information online to be there for a longer period, so it's accessible for longer, because you can't get around everywhere. You can't remember and retain all the information. Perhaps you don't want all the leaflets. So if all the information, if the clubs and societies and different groups could log all this information online, it'll be more accessible. And basically the idea is, it's kind of like a Prezi PowerPoint. I don't know if anyone knows Prezi. I've basically seen one and just loved it myself, and I've shown a lot of people, and they also like it. So the idea is to kind of have all these different areas on a page, and it's kind of zoomed out. You zoom into the different areas and click in the different areas, and it'll be more information in those areas, and you zoom back out again, and there'll be all the different options over the page. So it's kind of, you have the opportunity to have endless amounts of information all in one location, and just kind of look around like a big mind map. I mean, how many students use mind maps? Why can we not have a mind map of everything we can do in one place?
Now, obviously, Welcome Fair is pretty easy to find on campus.
Yeah.
How would you go about publicising your virtual one?
On every network that students use, there's so many places. Obviously, Facebook is a huge one. One thing that I would love to work on, but it's been said so many times, which is why I've not put in my manifesto, is the SU website, where, you know, where all activities and sports are. I really don't like it. It's just so hard to use. There's things that are there that you can't even find. So maybe it would help support that area. So it's putting it in places where students actually use, students want it to be. You could also have it on campus, and you could almost have it physically by like having touch screens. You know, just like the big kind of iPod looking electric things. Imagine that in touch and you could have a look at what we've got to offer. There's so many places you could put it.
Right, so Yolanda, you are back again running in your third year, and yes. we do have a text that's coming in.
I'm not running for sport.
And it says, yeah, Paige and Yolanda have both run for other SU positions in the past. Is postgraduate just a consolation prize for them? That's from Elliot. And also, Yolanda, why not run for sport this year? A lot of your experience does seem based around there.
Yeah, it's definitely not a consolation prize. I mean, look at the competition we've got for four candidates. It's as competitive. It's one of the most competitive roles this year. So definitely, certainly not. Sport, I do love sport, but I wasn't a postgrad before. I'm a postgrad now. And just looking at the role and hearing postgrads kind of talk about what's not available to them, when for me, who've been here for 4 years and I've experienced that and I know it's there, I think I just got passionate about it. And you know, I've worked and talked to people and looked at kind of what we have to offer, and I want to try and engage our community. And I think my manifesto also, it's got specific points for postgrads, but it also reflects needs that would improve the student union and the student's experience as a whole, so undergraduates as well. Obviously I realise that postgrad represents all students, so yeah, it's kind of like a mini president. The role is so flexible, and I think that just, it's quite exciting.
Feel free to answer.
So one of the things for me was, because I ran for welfare last year, I've actually been able to work with Katie on some of the manifesto points, and this year I got to speak to some of the welfare candidates about my manifesto last year. So it's been great to see that the points that I cared about last year, they have been trying to implement them, and they are what people are still working on. And again, I wasn't a postgrad last year, and I also had a really unique experience. You know, I started doing my PGCE, so I was in schools 5 days a week on placement, and then I changed courses to an online master's and distance learning. And it was that experience that really started giving me the ideas of the postgrad. And I just thought to myself, like, you've got all these ideas, and you've been working, you know, really closely with Matt and other postgraduates for things like Link 17 and the Winter Ball. You know, what can you do with them? And it was a really obvious thing of just do it, just run for postgraduate officer. Who cares if you ran last year? You know, your ideas for welfare are cared about and are being put in place, and you could make a difference to postgraduates. So yeah,
we're gonna go and move on to Manuel now and questions about your manifesto specifically.
Great.
What is the issue with, and how could the working conditions for postgraduate research students be improved?
Well, I think that we need to address several topics. First of all, how much are they earning? If their conditions are proper and suited for them, many of them already go on their master's level. They're doing the PhD now. So we're talking about highly capacitated people, highly qualified, people for do the job. So I'm really worried about that. Also, the conditions, how much time they're using for that, because they're working, they're doing the research, they're writing the dissertation, the thesis, and everything, and I'm really care about that. Matt already started some bans on this. Actually, he has done an incredible job in this, but we need to continue this until we could improve the conditions. We need to see improving continuously. I really want to work on that, and I know how, because it is about lobbying with the highest position officers across the university. But we need to know the problem. We need to know who is suffering that, what is the situation across the different schools and faculties of the university for PGTs, that are postgraduates, that are taking sorry, but writers are doing the research. Big yards.
And you mentioned sponsors for postgrad students as well. Firstly, what makes you think they are needed? And secondly, who do you have in mind and what kind of contacts do you have to set up the sponsorship?
First of all, of course, it's always needed. We also need money and funding for students. We need it for local students, we need it for international students. Luckily, this university is supporting international and local students. Several governments have agreements with the university to receive their students here for a sponsorship, as mine. Mexico is supporting Conacyt scholarships to many students to come here. But also local students need more opportunities for this. I'm talking with several students and they're paying themselves. They're working and studying and we're really worried for this. Because so many times, actually, the main cause of stress in students are about their financial needs. And we need to work for that. And how I can do it? Working with several stakeholders. Right now, I'm a member of the Chevening Network for several people who is involved in highly positions across the UK and outside the UK. I was invited this year with the Chevening Scholarship. I got incredible people across the government, social media. Last week, I was with William Plegler of Culture Group and several people that we could do this together. And now it's really fun because we cannot use a sponsorship for the campaigns, but we could use a sponsorship for future activities, and I want to use that because I know how important is networking. And as I said before, I also want to improve networking for the every single graduate
Sorry,
student.
I'm going to have to hurry there. But
okay,
yeah, you're
perfect.
Right, I was going to end with some closing statements on why students should vote for you. And also, postgraduates tend to get, the postgraduate role tends to get a very low turnout in elections. If you could just spend a moment talking about that and, you know, why people should vote for you to increase that turnout. And we'll start with Yolanda this time and go around the room.
Oh, sorry. As I've said, I am passionate about the role. And I think it reflects on how I speak about my manifesto points. And I've said, I'm pretty confident that I would be able to implement the manifesto points I've created, simply because they're not out of this world, crazy, silly. They're kind of practical points that would make a difference. Also, I've got a world of experience that's probably different to other candidates. I'm a sports scholar. I've played international table tennis. I'm very dedicated to what I do and I'm kind of passionate about it. And I'm quite competitive, so you know, I will work hard and I want to listen to student voice and represent the students for what they want and what they need. And I will listen and work as hard as I can to kind of implement that. Voting wise, it's so important to vote. And a lot of students just don't realise that. I mean, we talked about it earlier, this question earlier. I think one small thing is that postgrads are here. Some postgrad master students might be here for such a short time and perhaps they're not as engaged or they don't feel that, you know, their vote's not going to make a difference to them. But, you know, they really should vote because we want to listen to their voices, so they should make their voices heard by voting, undergrads and postgrads alike, because as I said earlier, postgraduates do represent the undergraduate body as well. Thanks.
Well, I'm Manuel Saris and I'm inviting you to vote, because if you think that you don't have enough time to vote, but you because you are worried, you're tired, you're stressed, let me tell you something. I care about that and I want to work for your condition. I want to work for recognize your welfare, your well-being, your work, that you're international, that you struggles with the language, that you have financial needs. It's not really complicated to say this. I'm here to work for you, but I need that you vote and please vote for me, Manuel Vesares, for postgraduate officer. We are confidently smart PGs and we work together. We will address the problems together. And the most important thing, we will solve that problems together. Vote and vote for Manuel. Thank you so much.
I mean, as I've already established, I've never run for office before. I feel like I was sort of pushed towards this sort of position because, I mean, Nottingham, the world, academic life sort of sits on the precipice of an uncertain and unstable time. I mean, I don't have some cool cliche to throw around. All I have is my record that's shown I've worked for underserved people. I care about academic life. And if you vote me in this year, I'll give it my all. That's all I have to offer.
I think people should vote, and in particular vote for me, because I feel like the things on my manifesto I can, like I said earlier, achieve within my year of office are things that future candidates would like to continue. I care about the postgraduate experience, and I want it to be as good as undergraduate experience. And I want to make postgraduate welfare and wellbeing a priority for the officer team. And I think as well, it's just so important that you do use your vote. You know, there are so many issues and students want their voice to be heard, like that person said earlier. But if you don't vote, then you're not exercising your right to use your voice. So I think it's just so simple, you know, even if you only vote for, you know, one, what are they called? One section, you know, like if you only vote for president, or if you only vote for welfare, or if you only vote for postgraduate, just use your vote because it's worth it. You know, you can choose people that are going to make a real difference, and choose a person that you think is going to be able to do that the best for you.
Well, thank you very much for all of you for joining us here on URN.